Blog Talk Radio.
Live and worldwide on Blog Talk Radio. My name is Joseph Durkin, and this is Vendetta Pro Radio. Our live call-in number is area code 646-929-2066. Call us up. Hit option number one on your phone, and that will bring you up on our little message board. We can bring you in here, and you can chat with us. You can interact with us. We are an interactive radio show. We've got a lot of stuff to get to. First, I want to bring in my co-host. He is the former two-time Vendetta Pro Wrestling Heavyweight Champion, ladies and gentlemen, the Rock of Love, Billy Blade.
Vendetta Pro Radio, what's up? What's up, Joseph Duncan?
Hey, how you doing? Absolutely. And joining us, we're going to go ahead and bring him in right now. Joining us on the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen, this man has a mixed martial arts record, 15 wins, 4 losses, and 1 no contest, 11 wins by knockout. Former Division I All-America out of Oklahoma State. He is the former Strikeforce light heavyweight champion, former TNA superstar, and currently is fighting with Bellator MMA. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to Vendetta Pro Radio, King Mo. King Mo, are you there?
Yeah, I'm right here, man. What's going on?
King Mo,
welcome to Vendetta Pro Radio.
What's up, y'all, man? Just here, man, chilling. What's going on with you?
Not much. How's Miami over there? How's Fort Lauderdale area?
Man, it's cool, man. You know, just chilling, you know, training. You know, we got Joe Schilling out here. You know, the crazy thing is a lot of us out here at American Top Team, we're big pro wrestling fans. We actually do a show out here once in a while for the kids. It's pretty good.
That's awesome, man. And you know, I always heard you were a big wrestling fan. Just in case somebody doesn't know you, which that's going to be very rare at this point, can you give us a history about, like, how you started and whatnot? Because I thought I heard, I could be totally wrong. You know, internet, you never know what's right and wrong. I heard that you got signed to WWE.
Well, no, they offered me a contract. They offered me a contract at the Olympic trials in 2008.
That's what I meant. Sorry.
Yeah. And I was going to sign, but, you know, Shad Gaspar, I met all these guys. Everybody, you know, Gail Kim, Molly Holly, Sky Too High the Worm, Nathan Jones. Remember Nathan Jones, the dude from Australia? He was
up
there.
Yeah, I trained with Nathan Jones.
Yeah, John Morrison. You know, it was a lot of people. Damaja, the Basher Brothers. It was cool, man. I had a great time. And, I did a few matches. I didn't know what I was doing, but I saw that, you know, the rules you do, you know, just a little, you know, the you know, the work. Show me how it worked a little bit. And I went out there, worked, and I did a match with Morrison, and they said I came out, you know, I picked everything up pretty fast, and I wanted to do that. But then my heart was telling me, make the Olympic team, win the gold, fight, and then come back to MMA. I mean, come back to pro wrestling. Because I was like, I figured that, hey, you know, I'll be the first, you know, gold medalist plus MMA world champion at the same time to go to, you know, pro wrestling. It didn't work out that way, but that was my main goal.
No, and you know what? That's the way to do it. Technically, I mean, you could start out and go to WWE. They offer you a contract, or you can go out there and make a name for yourself and come back, and then you do what they want. You know, you tell them what you want, not the other way around. You know.
Yeah.
And I know you've built up your name. Wrestling John Morrison in a match, that's pretty awesome. You know, we've had John Morrison on our shows. We've had a lot of the guys you mentioned.
It was an OVW, like a practice match. They had thrown me in there with them, and I got a chance to move on him, Shaq Gaspard. It was like this. I didn't know how tough it was till that first day. It was me and a guy named Brandon Eggum, who was a world silver medalist. And he was a two-time All-American from Minnesota, and him and Brock are cool. And we went out there. We thought that, you know, it was going to be, you know, an easy thing. But the first thing that happened when we got there was we caught a bunch of heat, because when we got there, first of all, we didn't know the wrestling terminology. I didn't know nothing. And as a shooter, you know, we were shooters. We came in wrestling. You know, when you amateur wrestling, when you walk in an area, you don't just go and shake everybody's hand. So we walk in. I get the head nod of people. I sit down. Right then, everybody hated us. They hated us. I had no idea. Oh. I didn't know the etiquette. I had no idea what the etiquette. No one told me until after the fact. And they were like, "Well, you got heat." And I'm like, "I don't got a gun. What would I got a gun for? Why would I need heat?" And like, "No, you got heat." I'm like, "I don't got no gun." And they're like, "Heat, like, you got problems." I'm like, "I ain't got no problem with nobody." He's like, "Well, you ain't shake everybody's hand, so now everybody hates you." So then I realized that after the fact, so before I left, I shook everybody's hand, you know what I'm saying, and I guess I became cool with people.
That's funny. You know, like, you know, somebody should have told you that, knowing that you're coming in to, you know, because that's one of the first rules that everybody, you know, but they didn't tell you. That's kind of, to me, that's kind of whack, you know. But, you know, but you obviously made up for it, you know what I mean? So, but with pro wrestling, like, you said it was the first time, and you said you wrestled John Morrison in a practice match, OVW. There's a lot of people we've used in the past and in the future, in the present, that actually was from OVW. Actually, and there is a little story. One of our wrestlers that we've used in the past, it goes to show you about the etiquette, like shaking hands and being friends with everybody backstage for a wrestling, because it's a little different than a lot of other, you know, like you said, a lot of compared to like amateur wrestling and whatnot. He shakes hands with everybody. He shakes hands with, you know, the people that do the backstage stuff for this and that. And that actually benefited for him, because he actually almost got fired. But if it wasn't for those people that he made friends with by shaking hands, they gave him the heads up that Vince McMahon was mad at him, and he was able to talk to Vince McMahon before they decided to fire him. The whole shaking a hand thing is kind of funny how well respected that is, you know what I'm saying? But you moved on from there, though. You end up going into MMA. I believe you end up being a Strikeforce light heavyweight champion, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I did. I did that.
Well, where did you train? What was who did you train under when you first started learning MMA?
Really, nobody. Here's the thing. It's crazy, because when I first started, I just kind of jumped in the game. After the trials, I was training with the Team Quest and Ryan Parsons, and I was just like just playing around, and you know, I ended up leaving Team Quest. I was training with Ryan Parsons, and we're going to train with Melcher Manoa, and we're training at Justin Fortress Gym. And mind you, I've only been training for maybe 4 to 6 weeks or so, but not that long. And I get offered a fight in Japan to fight Travis View. And I just took it. And I kind of got moved along pretty fast through my career, because, you know, I'm now starting to understand the game better. But before, I understood the game, but I didn't know how to, you know, break it down properly when I fight. I could watch fights and break down my opponents. But then I could execute game plans, but there are little things, like, you know, veteran things that I didn't know. Like, I didn't know how to relax in there enough. And then if I relaxed, I'd be too lackadaisical. And then, you know, it was just like, you know, things you learn from being a fighter. You learn the job, especially if you don't have the chance to rebuild your record.
Yeah, and that's what you just said right now. I was going to hit the nail on the head. You said the veteran part of it. You're basically now a vet now, you know, whether you want to admit it or not, you're a vet in this business, you know. How long have you been competing professionally in MMA?
I started in 2008, 8. And granted, like, it could have been longer. I should have had more fights, but I've had 4 ACL surgeries. You know, just like, you know, 4, and that kind of took a lot of time. But the thing is, I bounced back because I healed pretty fast. So I bounced back. And I wasn't 100%, but I bounced back and came back anyway because I wanted to compete. So really about 8 years, but if you take away all the injuries, probably less than that, a lot less than that.
Okay, well, let me ask you. You brought up your knee, your ACL injury. Correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't you get really sick and got a pretty high fever from one of the knee injuries and had to be in the hospital?
Yeah,
whatnot?
It got stab infection, man. It was rough, man, because I didn't know. Like, so I remember one day I was in rehab, and that night before I went to rehab, I was, like, sweating a little bit. And I was like, man, why the hell my sweat is hot as hell up in here? Whatever, sweating in my sleep. The sheets were wet. When I get up the next day, I go to rehab. The doc, the rehab guy looks at my knee and he's like, man, you got 2 big golf ball-sized lumps on your knee. Man, it don't look right. And I'm like, that's normal. Cause I figured it's just because of swelling. Well, he's like, it feels hot, too. I was like, yeah, but it's swelling. He's like, let me take the temperature of it. So he got the sticker thermometer put on there. And it was like 105 degrees, something like that. So he's like, man, this ain't normal. You need to go to the doctor. And I was like, man, go to the doctor. I was like, I'll wait. If he doesn't calm down by Monday, you know, because that was Friday, mind. If he doesn't calm down by Monday, then whatever, we'll go. I'll go back to the doctor. So the next day, I felt kind of worse. So I called my doctor up in surgery. I was like, hey, man, so it's on my knee. So he's like, come to the office. I go to the office. He's like, this don't look right. Let me drain it. He sticks a needle in it. Pulls the syringe back, green ectoplasma, Ghostbuster ectoplasma comes from my knee. And it smelled so bad. So I was like, man, my this doesn't look right. And my mind is a Saturday. He's like, let me taste the lab and get it rushed. Taste the lab around 8 o'clock at night. He's like, Mo, come to the hospital. We're going to do emergency surgery because you have a bad staph infection in your knee. And we need to clean that, flush it out, clean it up right now. So I go to the hospital on Saturday. And next thing you know, when I wake up for surgery, I got a PICC line in my arm, testing my heart, and he's like, we're going to keep you here for another 2 weeks. We're going to do a procedure on you every 48 hours till it gets better. And I probably spent a total of in and out of the hospital, about a month and a half and out of the hospital, and I probably had, who knows how many, probably close to 30, like, you know, procedures, like, as far as flushing the staph infection out. What ends up happening is, my bad, I'll admit it. What ends up happening is, they removed the ACL because that was harboring the infection. They took the ACL out in a surgery. Then I had to wait 3 months for, you know, 3 more months before they put one back in. So I was sick for about 3.5 months, and I lost a total of 50 pounds. Because I had a 103-degree temperature for like 3 months. I was wasting away.
You know, that's crazy, man. I'm there with you, man. This is a crazy story. You mentioned John Morrison. It's weird how things come back around, you know. I wrestled John Morrison and my girlfriend at that time. I was pretty sick, you know. But, you know, we're wrestlers, we're fighters. You know, we don't – when we get sick, we don't go to doctors. That's the bottom line, you know. We just fight it out. That's what we do. It was 4th of July. I remember it was 4th of July, and I was doing really bad. I was feeling sick. But I was going to – it's 4th of July. I'm going to have barbecue. I'm going to, you know, have some drinks. No, my girlfriend convinced me I need to go to the hospital. When I got there, they told me – that I have major staph infection. I had the same thing, but it was in my lower back. I had a ball in my lower back. And they basically did emergency, you know, where they had to open it up and all that stuff. And that was a scary thing. They said if I would have waited 2 days more, I probably would have died from it. And like,
yeah, that's not what I mean.
You know,
septic.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what the worst feeling in the world was? Wasn't them draining it. It was when they had to clean it out with that plastic needle thing with the saline solution. Oh, my God, it was the worst thing in the world. So
quick question. Let me ask you something. Was it in your bone?
It was in, I don't know what it was, honestly. Like, it was in my lower back. I think it was from, like, an ingrown hair sweat or something. I think it was ingrown hair. So it was kind of a, you know, unfortunately, I never had it, of course, so I didn't know what it was. I thought I was just sick, you know, and then sure enough, it ended up being Mercer. I think Mercy or Mercer or something
Mercer,
like that.
Mercer, yeah, Mercer. Methylene resistant staph infection, Staphylococcus aureus.
Okay, that's what you had, right?
No, I had epidermitis, which is a skin staph, but it was bad. I almost became septic. So yeah, MRSA is like it's, you have to have certain types of medicine. With mine, I had to use vancomycin, which is like one of the strongest. It's used for MRSA. It's one of the strongest antibiotics. It was an antibiotic IV. I had to take it every 12 hours. You know, I
was man, yours is hardcore then.
It was rough.
So, we're glad you're here, and we're glad you're still fighting. And, hey, Joseph, were you going to make an announcement since we're on air with everybody? Joseph, our PR guy, who's also a ring announcer.
Absolutely, yes. August 8th, Santa Maria, California, Vendetta Pro Wrestling presents Vendettaversary 2015, and we do have King Mo scheduled to make an appearance. We don't quite yet have the role established on exactly what you're going to be doing, but
I'm an ass kicking expert. So whoever wants the ass kick, they just call me out. That's what it is.
I'm going to go ahead and not call you out if that's cool. I'll just talk to you on the radio. We'll have a couple drinks after. Whatever works. I just don't want to really be in the ring with you. Actually, no, it's cool. We can. No worries. No, but hey, King Mo, this is one thing I wanted to ask you. How was your experience in TNA wrestling? I know we've had Bobby Lashley on our shows. You know, Kenny King is one of our good friends. He used to wrestle my shows back in the day. I think he's down there right now, by the way. He's in Miami, so you know.
I know.
He hasn't hit you up. You better tell him what's up with that. You know what I'm saying?
Okay,
he's in Miami right now.
I'm going to text him.
Yeah. So, but anyway, how was your experience in TNA wrestling? I know you were a part of TNA wrestling, and we'll get into a couple other things. We only have about a 45-minute show. But how was your, you know, now that you, at that point, you established yourself as a pretty big MMA star. In fact, I think you're like ranked number 4th in the world outside of UFC, which is amazing. And
I should be in the top 10. I'll be in the top 10 soon. So
for sure. And I'm thinking, so what was your experience in TNA wrestling, knowing that, you know, you are such a big wrestling fan and that you went on from WWE to do the MMA thing and then you came back to TNA, which basically, you know, there's tons of WWE stars, basically, you know. What was the experience for that?
It was a great one. You know, I wish I could have had a chance to wrestle a match because I was ready. And I kind of was like a mark, you know what I'm saying, in a sense, because when I got there, I was a big AJ Styles fan, Bobby Roode, James Storm. I met Sting, which is like, and Hulk Hogan, which is crazy. You know, Samoa Joe, Chavo, Big Hernandez. I met backstage, you know, Abyss. Everybody was cool, man. I was starstruck. I didn't know, dude, I was getting nervous, you know, lightheaded, but, you know, it was a great experience. Dixie's always been cool. You know, I just feel like, you know, they had so much going on. And I had so much going on my schedule. I never had a chance to really show what I learned in OVW. Because I had a great coach, Nick Desmore, you know, Eugene, and I had my boy Frank Miller, aka Trailer Park Trash, who taught me a lot. It was like with him, man, it was a crash course. You know, I got to the point where I could actually wrestle a match. I could do like a 5 or 6 minute match with him after like 4 days of working with him. Because I learned how to listen. He taught me the rules of like, how don't rush things, you know. Like, it's like in a fight. You don't rush things. Keep your distance. Be smart. Keep your cool. You know what I'm saying? And you know, don't try to force nothing. When you try to force something, that's when things go bad.
No, totally. You know, it's funny. Again, it goes back to this full circle. Eugene was actually on our very first Vendetta Pro Wrestling show in 2009. He was also on, me and him were on tour together with Hulk Hogan in Australia, which was amazing. And the cool thing about Nick Dinsmore is a lot of people look at his character and think, oh, you know, the guy is one of the best wrestlers in the business today at this point, even though he's not, you know, wrestling as much on TV anymore or whatnot. He's amazing in the ring.
Yeah.
And so, you know, a lot of people have a misconception that MMA, you know, MMA fighters and pro wrestlers, they don't like pro wrestlers because they're MMA fighters. Correct me if I'm wrong. That's far from the truth. Am I right? Because most of us, we all love each other and, you know, appreciate the sport we do.
It's more amateur wrestlers because they're like, oh, this big. I'm like, man, I'm going to tell you this. Pro wrestling is the hardest thing I've ever done. Like, I remember just, I remember the first day I was taking bumps. I didn't take that bad. I was like, oh, this ain't nothing. I can take a bump. I'll take a bump. And people are like, man, you take good bumps. It sounded loud. It's like a college question. Boom. Front flip up. Boom. Hard back bump. Boom. Hit the ropes. Bump. Take shoulder tackle bump. I was like, yeah. I was like, this ain't nothing. Then the next day I got up and I was like, what the hell? My neck is sore. My back, my lower back, my butt, my heels, the back of my triceps, my elbows. I was like, what the hell? And then I took bumps the next day. And then we did turnbuckle. I was like, man, this stuff is, oh. But then we had to hit the ropes. Like, we did the crisscross drill, and he has to hit the ropes like 5 minutes at a time. And I was like, man, my back is killing me. I'm like, what's wrong? Why my back hurts so bad? Because you hit these tight-ass ropes. Because OVW hasn't changed anything in forever. They just now changed their rope to cord.
And they have rope. They don't have cable, if I remember right.
No, they have cable. They have cable now. They finally changed it.
They have cable? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, they used to have rope, and that rope was worse than cable, you know, so.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, a lot of people don't realize, like, I played football in high school, and I did all the sports in high school, but when I decided to be a pro wrestler, I was like, wow, this hurts, you know. It's like getting in a car wreck all the time, you know. But for some god-awful reason.
Live call number is area code 646-929-2066. We do have a caller with a question. Would you like to take that call?
Sure. You want to take a call, Kingo?
Yeah, that's cool, man. That's cool.
Sure.
Okay, caller out of the 661 area code. Caller, you are live in Vendetta Pro Radio.
Hey, how's everyone doing tonight?
Pretty good, man. So?
That's good. So I was watching the story when you were in the ring in TNA of how you guys had that heated rivalry going back and forth between you and Bubba Ray. What was that like to experience that?
Man, it was great because Bubba, let me tell you something. Bubba's a big, intimidating figure, man. And that dude, man, he's strong. I was starstruck with just, like, being around him. You know, I didn't want to be, but I was like, man, look at this dude. This dude's big as hell. I don't know why he's doing MMA. Because he's big, man. He has heavy hands, everything about him. He's strong, man. When he tackled me, he just threw me out the ring. That dude was strong, man. It was great working with him.
Well, that's a good thing. And, you know, hopefully get to see you sometime step foot in the ring and actually wrestle.
You know what? I've done a few spots here, and I did a match for American Top Team. We do wrestling shows. As a matter of fact, next time, like, you know, we had Wes Briscoe come out. Cause Wes is my boy, and we had Wes Briscoe come out for the last show. My goal, what I want to do is I want to try to get Red Dragon and Tom, you know, Lawler. Versus me and the Young Bucks. I'm a big Young Bucks fan. That's my favorite tag team. They're my top five tag teams. My favorite tag team. You know, and the Young Bucks are legit, man. I love the Young Bucks. I love them.
Yeah, hey, everyone. Super Kick for sure.
Yeah, Super Kick Party.
Thanks for calling in, man. I'll see you Saturday, right, Peter?
Saturday, Billy.
Okay, guys. Hey, so King Mo, here's another question for you, man. Obviously, we're big MMA fans. We're big pro wrestling fans, all of us, you know, and that's why we do this. We wouldn't be doing this if we weren't fans of what we do. However, hey, how your rivalry in Bellator, I don't even know if it was outside Bellator or not, but you and Quentin Rampage Jackson, that didn't seem like that was settled business. I mean, you guys had that fight. It went to decision. I mean, is there going to be another fight between you two, or is that, I mean, what's the history between you two? Because I know it was in TNA too, so it was like.
Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen, because like right now he's still in court, but everybody saw that I won that fight. They cheated me in his hometown. Everybody, like, I mean, the MMA reporters, all of them had me winning. You know, everybody thought I won. It was like actually on a website for one of the top 10 robberies of the year last year against him. I was up there, but. Everybody knows I won, but me and Quentin, like, we got to finish business, because it's like this. If you think you beat somebody, or you thought you beat somebody, you're going to ask them for a rematch before the results are read, are you? This dude came to me and said, man, I want a rematch, man. I want a rematch. I'm like, yeah, you get your rematch, time to be on. And then next you know, I get screwed. You can see that body language who he thought he was lost. You can see his corner, they all had their head down. And then they announced him as the winner, and it was just bogus, man. But, you know, he don't want to fight me. He knows better. He knows that he didn't beat me. He knows, like, you know, when I fought him, I was like, at my best. Now, it took me years to get over the stab infection and all that stuff. And now I'm to the point where I finally shook back, man. I'm feeling myself right now. So he definitely don't want to see me now.
So you don't think he'll be fighting you anytime soon then, obviously, because obviously if you were not at your best then, I can only imagine what's going to happen now.
Yeah.
But I know recently, I think it was February, maybe March, I think it was late February, didn't you defeat Congo in Bellator?
Yeah, I defeated him. Yeah, I went up the weight class and beat him.
That's a big win for you. Are you going to be up for a title soon? A title shot?
You know what? I want a title shot at heavyweight at 205. We're going to see. You know, right now, my goal is just get a fight, stay busy, and I'm going to see what they want to do.
In Bellator, since you're in Bellator, who is your favorite? Who is someone you want to be in the ring with? Like, who do you want to fight in Bellator? What are the top guys that you want to be in the ring with?
Whoever, man, because I can give you the real answer, I can give you the King Mo answer. The King Mo answer is whoever, whenever, whatever. But the real answer is if Bellator could sign a quadriplegic, right, a quadriplegic, and pay me $1 million to beat him, I'm whooping his ass. You know what I'm saying? Everybody wants to take the easiest fight. Look, it's like this. We all want the money. You want to take the easiest fight possible to get paid the most. You know what I'm saying? It's all about that bread.
Yeah, you know, if you and Rampage fought again, you know how much money that would make? That's a funny thing. So it wasn't
it'd be good.
It'd probably be one of the highest grossing fights, if I had to guess. But then again, I don't know all the numbers.
Well,
I don't know, it'd do
good numbers, though.
Yeah, it'd be huge, though. Everybody would want to see it, for sure. And, you know, I like what Bellator is doing. Like, as a pro wrestler myself, like I said, UFC, I love UFC, don't get me wrong. But when Bellator recently did, I think it was free on TV, it's like on Spike, and I think Tito Ortiz was on the card. I believe you were on a card, if I remember mistaken,
yeah,
if you weren't.
Yeah,
the way they had you guys come out with your entrances and videos, and it was a lot of showmanship, and I think that kind of makes them stand out compared to UFC, you know, because you have the entrance videos, you've got the music. I mean, it's like a wrestling show, but with an MMA feel, you know?
And here's the problem with that. Here's the problem. Like, now you get some hardcore idiots like, well, I don't like Bellator because they have the tools with pro wrestling feel. I'm like, what? We're trying to entertain you guys? Like, it's Japan. Japan's the same way. Japan, they're in Japan. The goal is to entertain you as much as possible. So the entrances, the pre-show, the fights, you know, everything is supposed to be entertaining. That's Scott Coker comes from that background, the Japanese MMA entertainment background. So he's trying to entertain his fans in every way. And for you to think that, like, you know, just walking out is good enough, to me, if that's what you want, you're a simple-minded person. You know, that would be like football. That's like, you know, football dances, you know, touchdown dances. That was entertainment, but they got rid of that. They wired it down. They'd be like everybody celebrating. You know, if the football games, you see them come out, they announce the players, they all were on the field. But that'd be like, hey, don't run on the field. Go to the sideline, and we'll just do it that way. No. You're on the field to get the crowd involved. You have to get the crowd pumped up because your team's coming. That's the same way with our walkouts. You see the big screen. You see it come up. You hear our music. You see our highlights in the background. That's the way it should be because right then it's showing people what you can do. The highlights are showing people, oh, this guy can knock you out. This guy can submit you. Oh, man, I think I like this guy. Oh, he's playing another guy. Oh, man, this guy can submit people. Oh, okay, well, it's going to be a good fight. That's what it is. Especially if you don't know who the fighters are, all you gotta do is look at the background when they're walking in. And you'll see what they're
totally
doing.
And with Vendetta Pro Wrestling, and like you're gonna be making your debut with us on August 8th, and someone will be in trouble. Sounds mean, like, but we're big on entrance videos.
We're about to go into our bonus time period in just about 10 seconds. Hear the rest of the program tonight on VendettaProWrestling.com, and we are in bonus time. So.
Yeah, like I was saying, Vendetta Pro Wrestling, man, we're all about the entrance videos and all about the showmanship before the actual match starts. Because, you know, we have the top wrestlers in the world wrestling for us as well. You know, you mentioned people like Chavo Guerrero Jr. and whatnot. Chavo Guerrero Jr. was actually our heavyweight champion for a long time. And then so was a gentleman named the Masterpiece, Chris Masters. And,
yeah, he's a
you know,
guy.
We had a lot of big names come through our curtain, so to speak. But again, it's about, you know, building up the fan base. You know, Bellator is, you know, they're not UFC, but they are right up there, you know. And like I said, I do watch both, but when I seen Bellator start bringing out the entrance videos and the showmanship, the fights are amazing too, but the showmanship is what sold me on the product. And then when I, you know, of course I watched the whole thing because I look at it as, because myself as a promoter as well, I look at the whole aspect, and to me, I was like, that was amazing.
Yeah, yeah. And the thing is, like, it's free on Spike TV. How can you beat that? You can't hate on that.
Yeah. No, you can't beat it because, you know, with the price of the pay-per-views these days, I mean, definitely. I was one of the ones that paid $100 to watch Floyd Mayweather and Pacquiao, and I'll be one to go ahead and say Floyd Mayweather totally beat him. I don't know. What was your opinion on that fight?
Well, the fight, you know what? It's like this. People want to complain about Floyd, and they're like, oh, Floyd, man, he's so boring. But they, for some reason, they all tune in to watch him fight. Well, here's the problem. People tune in to watch him get beat. And when he loses, they complain about the fight being boring. Now, if you're going to blame everybody for the fight being boring, blame Pacquiao, because Pacquiao couldn't even knock him out. Floyd supposedly had problems with southpaws. Pacquiao is a southpaw. Pacquiao said that. Pacquiao said Floyd has problems with power punches. Pacquiao's a power puncher. Pacquiao said Floyd has problems with speed. Pacquiao's speed. Pacquiao said Floyd has problems with volume punches. Pacquiao's volume punches is a volume puncher. Pacquiao said, you know, Floyd has problems with guys that come from weird angles. Pacquiao comes from weird angles. Pacquiao's supposed to be the person to beat Floyd, and he got beat. And then now everybody's like, oh, the fight was terrible. De La Hoya tweeted something. And De La Hoya can't talk because when Floyd fought De La Hoya, they said the same thing about the De La Hoya fight. Man, that fight was boring because Floyd won. If Floyd would have lost, then everybody would have been happy. But that's not what happened.
Even if he lost the same way, that's the sad thing. Is even if he lost the same way that Pacquiao lost, everybody would have been completely happy just because Floyd Mayweather knows how to market himself. 6 years ago, when this fight, people wanted this fight to happen, it wouldn't have been worth as much. Six years later, 2 weeks ago, biggest grossing fight in history. He's a smart man, and a lot of people don't realize it. But on top of that, he's a good fighter. And I watched a fight, and as someone, I like to watch, and like you're saying, everybody's saying it was boring. It was a fight. It's boxing. It's not MMA. They can't kick. They can't take him down. Floyd Mayweather hit so many more landed so many more punches than Pacquiao. So it wasn't like he was running away like people say. So,
and people have to realize, when Floyd fought Pacquiao, Floyd actually, when he released, he's like, I was actually 149 going in the ring. So Pacquiao was actually bigger than Floyd going in the ring. Floyd is small. They're both small. But people want to see a brawl because everyone's like boxing videos. Man, look, James Kirkland fought Canelo, you know what I'm saying, and on last Saturday. And if you want to watch a brawl, watch that fight. Or watch Pobednikov versus Matisse. There are a bunch of brawls. They're on HBO. You'll see some on PBC, on CBS and Spike TV. But the thing is that NBC. The thing is that with Floyd, you get a boxing match because Floyd doesn't really have the power to knock you out. He can't brawl with you smaller than people he fights. So what would you expect him to do? Expect him to go out there and win. That's the goal. In sports, your goal is to win. That's it.
Yeah, I saw that fight, or I saw highlights of that.
Yeah. In pro wrestling, your goal is to go out there and entertain and put on a good show.
Totally. I saw highlights.
Floyd Mayweather is the perfect example. He is almost the exact same as a professional wrestling heel. He will get people to buy the match, and just like you were saying, people will buy the fight just to watch him lose. And so far it hasn't happened yet, but everybody's wanting to see, I want to see this guy. It almost doesn't matter who the other guy is. Obviously, you know, Manny Pacquiao, of course, is definitely a big name, but it almost doesn't matter who the other guy is. You want to see whoever it is that's fighting Floyd Mayweather beat Floyd Mayweather's ass, and it hasn't happened yet. And so every time it comes around, I want to watch this. I want to see Mayweather get beat. Nah, hasn't happened.
Yeah.
No, but you were totally right with all that. So yeah, Floyd Mayweather is awesome. I think he did exactly what he wanted to do, and on top of that, the guy made millions and millions of dollars on top of that. So I give it up to him. I thought the fight was actually pretty decent, considering the fact that he did exactly what he wanted to do. I did see the fight you're talking about last week, and he knocked him out.
He did a 360. That was crazy. Yeah.
I've never seen someone do it that way. That was just pretty awesome.
Me neither.
Hey, we have about 10 minutes left. Hey, Joseph, do you have any questions for King Mo?
Where can people find you online, Twitter and such? Where can people get in touch and possibly interact with you?
Well, you know, at KingMoFH, that's on Twitter, and at KingMoFH on Instagram. And I got a fan page, I think, Muhammad King Mo Lawal, and that's on my Facebook fan page. So, you know, I try to stay up on things, and, you know, it's kind of hard because, you know, I kind of just chill, and a lot of it, you know, a lot of people are talking to us and this and that, and I ain't got time for that, you know what I'm saying? So I will use that block button pretty quick.
So check this out, King Mo. We do this segment. We meant to do it earlier, but I kind of forgot about it. Okay, so not sure it's happened to you yet, but in pro wrestling, we have a thing called a rib. And on this show, we have a thing called Rib for Your Pleasure. And I'm sure you're familiar with the rib, correct?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so what is your favorite rib that you may have heard of that might have been pulled on you or you pulled on somebody else that maybe you're allowed to talk about?
I kind of just clown people, but I ain't ribbed nobody. Rip Rogers told me about some of the ribs he's done, and he's like, Rip Rogers, he has some crazy stories. I leave the rib to people that are actually, like, you know, established, because it wouldn't look right for me to go out there, unless it's a fight game, you know, but for the most part, like, you know, I don't really mess with nobody like that. I just kind of just make fun of you and stuff like that.
Now, do you have you said Rip Rogers. Do you have a story about one of his ribs that maybe he pulled in some?
Man, let me tell you something. He had so many stories that they all blurred together, and a lot of them were nasty. Like, I just, maybe when I stole them, I don't remember them to say, but I was there when him, Dane Davis, and Frank Miller, they did a little story, told stories at the gym. Nick Dismore told stories. Even Al Snow told stories. And I've heard so many of them, man. And just these guys are crazy, man. I'm not at that level of crazy. You know what I'm saying? Those guys are a whole different level of crazy than I am.
Well, let me tell you, Rip. Yeah, the ribs are pretty. You be around long enough, you're gonna get some more too. Trust me. I mean, the ribs are pretty crazy, especially some of the old timers like you're talking about. Have been through many. Yeah, I mean, there's a guy named, if you remember him, his name is he was probably the ultimate ribber. Mr. Fuji.
Mr. Fuji.
You remember Mr. Fuji, one of the top rivers, and like no one could ever catch him. So he was very good at it. And there's still stories to this day about the way he would rip people. So, but yeah, we've had people on a radio show talking about how one of our friends actually stole one of my other friend's wrestling boots and didn't tell him about it. And then 6 months later, he got a Christmas gift, and it was his Christmas boots wrapped up in the gift, you know? So, you know, a little stuff like that. What sucks is he had to buy a new pair of wrestling boots, you know? So, but definitely, man, we look forward to having you August 8th. It's our Vendetta anniversary. Last year, we had the Godfather on our show. We had Chavo Guerrero Jr., Chavo Guerrero Sr., his father, against a gentleman named Bestia 666 and Damien 666. It was the first ever father-son versus father-and-son match. This is last year. We had a cage match. I mean, it went on and on. We had an amazing show, so... There's another person coming in from Florida for August 8th, and we're still getting confirmation on it. But yeah, I think you know her. If you don't know her, I think she's a big fan of yours as well. La Rosa Negra.
Okay, yeah.
You know, she's supposedly going to be on our show, but we're still working out details. You know, she's a huge Cauliflower Alley Club member for us. We run the Cauliflower Alley Club wrestling shows, and you were mentioning some of the people, and we've had them on our shows, you know. And so it's, you know, anyway – it's always a pleasure to have you on the show, brother. I know it's going to be a lot of fun having you out here. I don't know if Vendetta Pro Wrestling is ready for King Mo, but I think King Mo is definitely ready for Vendetta Pro Wrestling. So whoever comes and steps up in front of you, I have a feeling it's not going to be nothing. It's going to be nothing but a bad time.
Bad time. Comatose time.
For sure. Now, do you have a fight coming up soon? I thought you were telling me that you have something. Did you ever get it confirmed yet? I know we were talking about that, but...
Yeah, something in September. I'm just waiting to hear back on what the deal is. So I know it's September, but I'm just waiting to get back on who the opponent is. They still haven't told me.
Now, will that still be on Spike, like for free and whatnot, or?
Yep, free on Spike TV. Man, that's how we do it, Bellator. Man. We want to entertain y'all for free.
See, now that's the good news, because you know with today's budget and this now, that people just can't afford to order pay per views, so especially monthly. So with it being on Spike TV.
Too many people.
Yeah, there's way
there.
Too many. Yeah. I think WWE, that's where they're failing too. That's where the WWE Network comes in now. I mean, I think WWE, if you're a pro wrestling fan, having a WWE Network is the best time in the world. I mean, you could watch any pay-per-view you want for $9 a month. So,
yes.
Now you can't get much better than that. So, if you have anything else you want to say to the fans of Vendetta Pro Wrestling or Bellator MMA or Strikeforce?
Yeah, thanks for the support, man, and continue to support me and everybody else out there doing something positive, man. You just got to do that. Stick with your people.
Cool, man. Joseph, you got anything to say to Kimo before we wrap it up?
Basically, looking forward to seeing you at Vendettaversary August 8th. Looking forward to meeting you there in person. And definitely looking forward to seeing what happens. I know we're going to have somebody who's dumb enough to try to cross you. And I'm actually very interested in seeing what happens to that person. So,
I'm bad. Put it like that. I'm going to do something bad to him.
That's awesome. Hey, and I was going to tell you one last thing. Like, I hopefully can remember what I was just about to say. But with Vendetta Pro Wrestling, man, we're just, we're happy to have you aboard. I think the crossover between MMA and pro wrestling should happen, honestly, because it's definitely something that, it's a big for both of us, and I look forward to seeing you. And you make sure you get a hold of Kenny King.
Oh yeah, I definitely will. I'm gonna hit Kenny up. I'm gonna text him.
Cool, man. Well, thanks a lot, man. And we'll look forward to hearing from you, and we'll keep in touch. And thanks for being on our radio show. And this is Vendetta Pro Radio, and our website is www.vendettaprowrestling.com. I'm Billy Blade on Facebook. That's Joseph Duncan. Any last second words, Joseph?
Follow us on Twitter at Vendetta Pro. And coming up this weekend, we got a triple shot, the Vendetta Pro Wrestling Melee Tour. It's going to be hitting 3 cities in 3 nights, starting off Friday night, Salinas Valley Fair, King City. That's Friday night, Saturday night, Lompoc. Tickets available, VendettaProWrestling.com. Sunday night, Chowchilla. All three
and
events, we got what was that?
I was just going to say, all three events featured Jeff Jarrett, Karen Jarrett, Carlito, Ricardo Rodriguez, and many other Vendetta Pro Wrestling stars. If you're still on the phone, King Mo, I'm sure you've dealt with Carlito and Jeff Jarrett and whatnot.
I've dealt with I met Carlito before, like way back, and then actually did an appearance with him. I haven't met Jeff Jarrett, but I'm a big fan of his. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we look forward to having him. It's going to be a big event. We also have Matt Riviera. He's the lover boy. He's defending his title against Jeff Jarrett. I mean, we got so many stars. We got the Vendetta Vixens. That's always a big plus. Plus, we got a lot of our local stars, Jekylls, then Tsunami, Pronto Discretion, Classic Connection. They're all on the card. So thank you, King Mo. Again, always, we're trying to wrap this up and plug it at the same time. You know how it goes. And, again, we'll look forward to hearing back from you. And thanks for coming on. And Joseph, thanks for hosting the show. Thanks again, everybody at Vendetta Pro Radio. Again, thanks for King Mo being on our radio show. And we're out.
This is Vendetta Pro.